COC episode number 7, Prince of Orphans versus Hercules.
Welcome to the COC podcast, where we put the attack in comicattack.net. I'm Ian Johnson, and with us as always is Jeff Jackson.
Hey there. Hey,
how's it going, Jeff?
Good.
With us also this week are our competitors, Eli Anthony. Eli, how's it going?
Pretty good, guys. How are you?
Good, good. And Andy Legal. Cue the crickets. Andy's Andy.
He's running a little bit behind.
how is everyone tonight?
We're good.
You guys are good?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I was going to tell you guys, so today, for those of you who may not know, I am an Episcopal priest, and so I have a church. And we had a visitor who showed up today whose name was Allison Blair.
Yeah.
So Dazzler came to my church today.
Very cool.
Yeah. So
that is awesome. Cool.
Yeah, but you know, it'd be a little weird for me to say, you know, hi, I'm Allison Blair. Oh, Dazzler.
Oh, so you didn't bring it up?
I didn't bring it up. Well, you know, it was her first time into the door, so I thought
maybe her second visit.
Maybe I'll wait. But that's funny. It's not the first time that's happened where, like, you know, Steve Rogers came to my church, or you know. Somebody like that. I mean, it wasn't Steve Rogers, but I'm trying to think of who it was. But there was another comic book name of somebody who came in. But anyway, so I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it is cool. So we're from the website comicattack.net, where we have lots of opinions about comics, comic news, and ask the definitive question about who beats who in a superhero fight. Tonight we dissect the fight between the Prince of Orphans and Hercules. Here's how COC works. Each week we'll be joined by two of our managers who have each submitted a Marvel character to fight. Each manager will give their rationales as to why their guy can win, hoping to convince myself, Jeff, and you, the listeners out there. You can listen to episode 1 to hear about all who was drafted in the process and conversation around the draft by going onto the site comicattack.net, where all of the past fights and episodes are archived. In order to win, the competitor has to receive the best 2 out of 3 votes between my pick, Jeff's pick, and the winner of the comicattack.net poll. And then we'll announce the winner at the beginning of each new episode, which we're recording right now, so every Sunday night. You can find all the rules for playing the game on a link in the post for this episode.
Awesome. And this is how you vote. You listen to the podcast, which you're doing right now, and you go back to comicattack.net for the post on this episode. Share your opinions, comment, dream up dreams, write all kinds of fantastic prose to help sway the public opinion. And you're also going to vote on the poll that is in the post, and you have until Sunday night at 9 p.m., which is when we record the show. And that's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Time, depending on whether or not the time has changed, I guess. Anyway, votes at the time of the recording will be the only ones that count. You can email me at jeff@comicattack.net or leave me a voicemail at 706-761-0115 with any questions or comments, and we'll have a high likelihood of making it on the show if you do one of those things. Listen to the next episode and see who wins. The winner will be announced not really at the beginning of the show, but kind of a third of the way into the show. And really, one small disclaimer, like we've said before, this is all subjective. It's fun. If your favorite character doesn't win, please don't shoot us. Please don't stalk us. Please don't send us mail bombs. But have fun and keep listening, because it is fun and we have fun making the show. So we want you to have fun listening to the show and participating. So, and one last thing, we have we want to be able to spotlight comic artists and their work. So if you have a sketch or a drawing or some kind of image that you'd like to share with us on any of the characters that we have that are in the fights, please send it to us. You can email it to us or to me at jeff@comicattack.net, or send us a link or whatever.
Very good. Now for my favorite part of our episodes, and that is our fights of the week. Where we go through comic fights from either the week in comics that's gone by, or you know, if maybe none of those fights interested us, we dig something up from the past and share it with you, the reader, some of our favorite past fights. So this week we're going to have Eli go first. Eli, you ready to share your fight?
Sure. Okay. So yeah, nothing from this week really interested me too much. So I, in doing a little reading up for this fight, I was looking back to the Immortal Iron Fist series. And I came across issue number 14, where basically Iron Fist and the other immortal weapons are fighting to stop Hydra from launching a bullet train that Danny Rand, his corporation, constructed. They're trying to stop them from sending that train full of nuclear warheads into Kunlun, which would destroy all the cities of heaven. And the fight starts with Danny taking on the train. He nails it with his iron fist and survives, destroys the train, which he's a little surprised that he survives. And then him and the immortal weapons, they start just kicking the mess out of all these Hydra goons. And it's great. You've got Fat Cobra, Tiger's Beautiful Daughter, Dog Brother Number One, Iron Fist, of course. You even have Lee Kung, the Thunderer, who trained Iron Fist, the Bride of Nine Spiders, even the Prince of Orphans. And it's got that great style where it names the moves that they're doing as they're fighting. And even Luke Cage and Misty Knight and Colleen Wing, I think is her name, they'd been captured by Hydra earlier. They make an appearance. And it ends with Danny taking out the leader of the Hydra guys. He's a representative of the 8th capital city of heaven that nobody knew existed prior to this. And so it's really great. It showcases these immortal weapons and what they can do. And, I mean, who doesn't love seeing some great hand-to-hand kung fu fighting and some heroes beating up a bunch of Hydra goons?
Is that Brubaker and Fraction on that book, or is it just Fraction? Or
let me see here. It's Fraction Brubaker.
Okay, cool. So they named the moves?
Yeah. Let me go back here. I'll give you a couple of them.
That's definitely the best part of those fight scenes is the moves. The names are awesome.
And the artist in this Iron Fist series does a great job. Sometimes they'll even have like a little zoom in where the move connects. It's great. Like Fat Cobra. He's fat and he's a huge guy, but his move here is exquisite speed release. And then Dog Brother Number One, his move is Blood Hunger's Blade.
Nice.
Yeah. And they're pretty funny, too, sometimes. Like, yeah. Tiger's Beautiful Daughter, hers is the Stabbing Newlywed. I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. We were laughing about Spider Island, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Number One, and Speech and I were talking about that on Tales from the Water Cooler, and we were just laughing at all those, you know, crazy names. And it turns out Anthony Johnston, who is the writer of that book, he listens to the show and emailed Speech and said, you know, because we were wondering, are those like real moves or are they just made up? Because they sounded so, on one hand, they sounded so made up, and on the other hand, they sounded, you know,
who could possibly make up names like that?
Exactly. Yeah. So he wrote us and said that they were actually that they made up the names. They just thought that they were, you know, fun names to name. But I thought that was a neat way to to hear that from him. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right.
Ian, you want to go, Jeff, or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go, and then you all go. Right. For me, there was a fight that stuck out in my head right away, but I was reluctant to take it because it's from Uncanny X-Force, and I feel like, you know, we're always picking fights from Uncanny X-Force
because
the book's so awesome.
Well, that's because also Uncanny X-Force comes out every week, it seems like.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
It is great.
So my other two, I'm not going to say the fights, but the books that I was going to take from, it was a tie for me between The Hulk versus Dracula. One out of three. There was some Hulk stuff in there that wasn't too bad. And then the other one was from Deadpool 43, which I won't give it away, but it was between Deadpool and the Queen of England, which I thought was pretty funny. But if you want, I'll let you look that up. So instead, what I did was I went with, you know, the You Can't Miss X-Force by Rick Remender and Jerome Opeña. And there's a scene that I just loved with Psylocke where she fights two of Apocalypse's gang. One is, I'm not really sure which
that's Pestilence, I think.
Is that Pestilence? She's the geisha girl who all the insects fly out of her mouth and stuff like that. And her and Psylocke are going at it pretty good. And she blasts her with the bugs out of her mouth. And Psylocke takes the umbrella out of her hand, her little geisha umbrella, and just jams it into her mouth. You know, she's laying on the ground, spitting out blood, and her tongue's hanging out and stuff. And it looks like she's got the win. And then right there in front of her is Blob, drawn better than I've ever seen him drawn in my entire life, with his nipple piercings and he's got a big pig tattooed across his stomach and stuff. And he just drops the hammer on Psylocke. One of those classic, you know, getting punched into the ground where your two legs kind of fold up behind you scenes, which, you know, I love to see the big punches like that. So for me, that was my fight of the week, just Psylocke going from kicking ass to getting ass kicked.
Why is that book so good?
I don't know. It's these, and even, you know, if somebody would have told me that they're going to revisit the whole Apocalypse thing, I would have laughed, you know what I mean? Like, I thought, you know, oh yeah, here we go again, you know, can't come up with
the exact same thing.
And it's, you know, I'm almost afraid to say it, but it's almost better this time around, I think.
I think it might, yeah, it might be.
Like, it's good.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I think this is going to be one of those runs that we all look back on and say, oh my gosh, like, I mean, Rick Remender and Jerome Opeña and, you know, have just knocked it out of the park. I mean, there literally has not been an X-Men book this good in a really long time. And I was a big fan of the previous X-Force, the Craig Kyle and Chris Yost version. I mean, I love that. I thought that couldn't get much better.
Yeah.
And this is just phenomenal. God, it's so good. So,
well, in this, the story has such great direction. Like you get a feeling like it's really going somewhere, right? Where for the longest time with the X books, I've kind of been feeling like they're just throwing stuff at the wall. You know what I mean? And who knows where it's going to go? And half the time, it means nothing and goes nowhere. And I don't know. You get a real sense of purpose, I find, with these books.
Yeah. I also think that this one is not as much editorial driven. I get a feeling like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like a lot of these creators who are otherwise really great creators, they get on these X-Men books and then they're just like, it's like they're handcuffed and have to, you know, they can only write about certain things, or if they do anything, they have to completely, you know, at the end of the story, reset everything so that, you know, the next writer, you know, has the same characters to work with. And so I feel like there's a lot of that that goes on, especially in the main X-Men books. But not in X-Force. I mean, anything can happen in that book, which is pretty great. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, speaking of X-Men books, my fight actually is not my favorite book of the week. It's not for my favorite book of the week. It really didn't get any high praise from me elsewhere. But I liked this fight, and that it was from X-Men Legacy number 255 by Mike Carey and Steve Kurth. And the story is that Rogue and Magneto and Frenzy and Gambit have been teleported into space because they are going there to rescue Rachel, Marvel Girl, and Havoc and Polaris, who are kind of wayward, space-bound X-Men. And anyway, she runs into this group of Rogue runs into this group of Shi'ar salvage pirates. Basically, they basically go to worlds that are being destroyed or have had wars, and they take all their scrap metal and their technology and I guess go sell it elsewhere in the universe. But she's kind of been captured by these Rogue has been captured by these folks, and anyway, she ends up Rogue kind of challenges the leader, whose name is Sovel Redhand, and she challenges him based on some kind of Shi'ar rule or something. He has to fight her, basically, and somehow she knows this gauntlet that she's throwing down. But he can pick a champion to fight for him if he wants to. And so he picks kind of their strong guy, whose name is Horse, and he's this six-armed alien guy. He's really big, and his thing is that he basically is on drugs most of the time, and when he's on drugs, he's okay. But when their group has run out of happy pills, Horse is just really depressed and angry and probably a little more powerful. So Horse comes, and he's gonna start fighting Rogue, and so they start fighting a little bit, and she just keeps dodging him, and all of a sudden she moves out of the way. And he says, you're running out of road, Rogue. And she says, no, just getting you into position. And she kind of gets behind him and just barely smacks him on the back of the head. And in the meantime, Rachel Gray, who she's been looking for, is a kind of an unconscious prisoner of this group of people. And so she's been out this whole time. And all of a sudden, she just barely taps Horse on the back of the head, and he falls over. And everybody's like, how did she do that? How did she take him down so quickly? And it turns out it was Rachel, who is actually acting as Rogue's champion secretively. And so it's this really cool scene where Horse just kind of falls over, and they're like, what? And she says, I decided to get myself a champion, too. It was just kind of a cool display of Rachel's power and her kind of a reintroduction to her, and that was really the only good thing about this issue. But it was good.
You definitely understood that book way better than I did. I read that issue, and like all the stuff that you just said now, I was like, Oz, is that what was happening? Is that what they're? Because I read that and I was like, I don't know, maybe I was distracted or something, with my kids running around or whatever. But wow, I had no idea what was happening in that book.
It's really not the best issue or storyline. I mean, I don't like Sovel Redhand. I don't like that character. I really don't like any of these folks, but I thought the fight was kind of cool, just how it went down. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway... So those are our fights of the week, and if you have a fight of the week, please send it to us and let us know kind of what tickled your fancy this past week in comic books, or if there was maybe something that didn't come out this past week but you still want to share it with us, let us know. So that brings us to last week's fight, and last week's fight was kind of a first in this game, but it was interesting because I didn't realize this, but Thor the movie came out on Blu-ray this week, so it was kind of good timing that this double Thor-ish kind of fight, Thor girl versus Thor, happened. Maybe it sent more people to the site, I don't know, probably not, but it was kind of the Thor week. So we're going to start with Ian's pick, and take it away.
Yeah, I picked Thor. This of all the fights that we've had so far in this competition, this was one of the ones, you know, and I feel kind of bad coming out and saying this, but I'm going to be honest. When we announced the fight last week, I pretty much had already picked Thor, only because I know a lot about Thor Girl. I know quite a bit about Thor, two characters that, you know, in the comics that I've read my life, I have many of their appearances. And, the Thor Girl, great character. She can beat up a lot of people. But in this competition where we have Thor as the benchmark, I think she's like Thor's little sister. You know what I mean? And Thor beats up his kid sister. In fact, you know, and Tom is not going to like hearing this at all. But I don't even know if this fight goes the distance. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't see her getting too worked up fighting Thor. So I think she's drastically outmatched here. So I had to go Thor.
Yeah, understandable. Well, let's look and see what the listeners thought at the time of our recording. The votes were in a landslide. Thor with 7 votes to Thor Girls 2. So I'm wondering who that other person was. If Tom voted, and also maybe somebody else. I don't know. But we've never. It is kind of a first. That's what I was saying earlier. It's kind of a first that we've had this kind of a lopsided battle. So those are your two. The two that needed to win the game or the match. So Thor definitely pulls out a win here, and really I don't have much more to add to that. I don't know if it was said on the show last week or maybe in a conversation, maybe we had after the show, I don't know, but somebody said something about, you know, this is like Superman versus Supergirl. They have similar powers. A lot of that kind of stuff. But ultimately, Thor Girl is not really going to be able to take down Thor. I mean, I was almost thinking, because based on what was going on with Fear Itself, I really thought that Thor might either be kind of depowered or something like that. So I thought, oh, Thor Girl might. This might be a really good time to use her and take down Thor. Just take him out of the fight completely, but it doesn't look like that's what's going on with Thor right now. So the other thing that was a lot convincing to me was that Dan had posted a link to a fight that Thor Girl and Thor actually had, and at the time Thor Girl was at her one of her most powerful, probably arguably the most powerful she's ever been. And Thor kind of admits that he's kind of holding back. And while she gets some good shots in, basically he ends up kind of taking control. And so that's really kind of what happened. So sorry about that, Tom. But it looks like Thor pulls out the win over Thor Girl.
All right, good. So do you agree? Do you disagree with our decision here? Maybe some of you think that Thor Girl, you know, has some tricks up her sleeve, or you know something about her that we don't that shows that she could win this fight. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at jeff@comicattack.net and chime in. Let your voice be heard to see where we went wrong with this fight, or maybe you just want to say, you know what, Ian? You covered everything here. Nobody could have said it better than you.
Yeah. awesome. Well, I am happy to say that we did get an email this week.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty exciting.
That is exciting.
But it's from an anonymous source. But I felt like we should bring it up.
Okay.
Because it's a fair argument. And here it is. Just listening to the show and, oh, come on, Jeff, standing operating procedure. That's a load of bull hockey on that wiki. I haven't seen Quasar use his so-called standard operating procedure in his recent appearances, even going back a few years. When Annihilus killed him, there was no standing operating procedure. When was the last time he's done this? He didn't do it at all during his fight with Annihilus, in which he was killed. Where was the so-called standing operating procedure when he was being killed by Annihilus? Or when he faced the Wraith Queen in the Annihilator series? I've never seen Quasar use his energy absorbing ability, yet it being on his wiki has killed me. If you were an umpire, I would buy you some glasses. In Infinity War, Green Hulk doesn't even have the ability to absorb the energy construct, but Red Hulk does, and so he would easily get out of an energy bubble. You have injured me greatly, sir, and now I'm going to cry a little. Just because the wiki says it doesn't make it... Just because the wiki says it doesn't make it so. By the way, which wiki has that info? Ah! And then he says, no worries, Jeff. I'm okay. Really just fine. Not smashing anything in anger. Not even a little. So sorry, anonymous person. Honestly, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, yeah. Wikipedia may or may not have the most up-to-date issue, but I don't know if that standard operating procedure would actually work or not against Red Hulk. But I thought it was an interesting way, and I think because of Wendell Vaughn's training in S.H.I.E.L.D., I thought that he would definitely... his order of how he would contain and do all that kind of stuff would definitely work. And I'm still not convinced. I mean, really the big thing for me was I still wasn't convinced that that Red Hulk could just drain off energy from a force field if he was inside the force field. So, you know, again, it's all subjective. I mean, I think you can argue. I mean, Eli, you probably agree that, you know, you can probably argue the other side of that, and you actually did argue the fact that Red Hulk could drain off Quasar's energy from far away. So I don't know.
That'd be something for the writers in the future to address a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I think it's a valid question. Does he have to be touching the person or holding the person, or does he just have to be touching the energy? That's a great, you know, comic book geek question to fix for us. We should call someone or email somebody and say, you know what, get on that. What happens here?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it may happen. Tom, I'm going to butcher his last name, Brovert.
Oh, Brovert.
Brovert, thank you. He actually commented on a panel, I think, at a con once about something about Red Hulk that, you know, just to clear up something. It wasn't on this particular issue, but... So you never know, that might happen.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe someone's listening to this show right now.
They could be.
That up.
They could be. And it sounds like you got some fans out there, Eli, who are...
Those are Red Hulk fans. I tell you what, they get, you know, so you either hate him or it's, you know, from the sound of that email, there are people who love him.
Yeah.
Or at least one person.
Well, you know what, and I'll be honest, I like Red Hulk. I think he's an interesting character. I haven't read a lot of stuff with him in it, but I like him a hell of a lot more than I like Quasar. I hate Quasar. I think he's I don't even want to particularly read him. I mean, I'm a little bummed out that he didn't win that Red Hulk didn't win, just because we have to, you know, I have to research more stuff about Quasar, which I don't really care too much about, but that's just me. So. Just to prove to everybody that I'm not doing this because I like Quasar more than Red Hulk. But
Tom's taking it hard tonight.
He is.
Thorgirl goes down and you hate Quasar.
Exactly. So thanks, Mr. Anonymous Person, for your email, and send us some more. We'd love to hear from you. So yeah.
And Jeff, if you don't like research, you're not going to like tonight's fight. On to tonight's fight, where we have fantastic character. Love the way he's written, but a guy who you're not going to be able to find a whole lot of information on in The Prince of Orphans versus a character who has undergone a complete transformation and Hercules.
Let's get ready to rumble!
I want to give a little bit of a background on what little I can give on both of these guys. And, you know, like Ian said, Prince of Orphans doesn't have a lot of appearances. He doesn't have a lot of history. But this is what I could pull up from that deceptive Wikipedia. John Amon is an orphan from the West, chosen for his superb physical structure to be raised by benevolent monks in Tibet for the first 25 years of his life. Each member of the Council of Seven, as the monks are known, trained him to a superhuman degree of physical and mental ability, while also giving him the ability via a chemical solution to disappear into a cloud of green mist, earning him the secondary title of the Green Mist. After receiving his final test, he is sent into the world to use his skills and abilities to do good. Opposing Amon, as he is well often known, is his nemesis, the Great Question, a disgruntled member of the Council of Seven. That's how I want to get superpowers, right there. Is I want to be raised by benevolent monks and just given the powers through their training. You know, I don't want to get bitten by a radioactive spider. I don't want to get bombarded with gamma rays. I want somebody just to give them to me, you know, and be raised by benevolent, nice monks. You know, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Maybe. That's
well, you know,
that sounds like my upbringing. Actually, very close.
And to Hercules, I don't really have much to really say about Hercules other than that he is the son of Zeus, who is the king of the Olympian gods. I don't know much more about him other than that. He's been an Avenger. He's not only a mythological creature, but he's been a character. He's been around in the Marvel Universe for a long time as an Avenger, as a starring in his own book, being a member of teams like the Champions as well. And after World War Hulk, he really got a big push by writers like Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente, and in his own series, The Incredible Herc. And honestly, I don't know. I was hoping Andy would be on by now to kind of tell us what was going on with Hercules right now. But Prince of Orphans you can find most recently in Secret Avengers. And Hercules is in his own book. I think it's called Herc. And it's a limited series. Is that right, guys? Do y'all know?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not really sure myself.
Okay.
I think, you know what? I think that sounds right, though. I think he is starting over.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. There's a little bit of background on Hercules and the Prince of Orphans.
All right, good. So our environment tonight is it's a new one as in we just introduced it not too long ago, but not new as in you've never seen it before. Both these guys are going to be fighting in the sand dunes in Death Valley, California. Big open vast space, you know, famous, well known for its extreme heat, but it is a national park, so it's not like it's going to be void of, you know, completely void of life or people. I think I mentioned this the last time, the sand dunes actually only take up about 1% of Death Valley. So it's not like the entire place is sand or anything. It's just a, you know, small section that takes up a handful, you know, I think something like 8 miles or 7 miles or something like that.
All right.
So how do you want to do this coin toss, Jeff?
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter because, Andy was the home team, but he's not here, so he doesn't get to go. So, I guess if he shows up, he can go whenever he gets here. But so I guess it's really up to Eli to
give his Eli show.
Yeah.
All right, Eli.
I was looking forward to one of those Canadian coins again. It's too bad.
We'll have to save the penny for next week.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't even tell you what's on it.
Good, good. Just keep the suspense going.
Oh, man.
All right, so it's just me, right?
Just you, man.
All right, well, now,
hey,
Andy,
Eli.
Yes.
I can fight against you if you want, if it just helps you, you know, get you in the mood or whatever. I can jump back and forth against you if you'd like.
Sure, that might be interesting. I mean,
yeah,
do you know what's going on with Herc?
No, no right clue. Now? No clue. Probably same as Andy, I'm sure. Just joking, Andy.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
No. It's good. It's good. All right. So first off, the Prince of Orphans, Jeff, the description you were looking at in Wikipedia, that was the original character.
Oh, okay.
Created long, long ago. They're similar. They are similar, and have the same name. But this guy has appeared most recently in the Iron Fist series. He's an immortal weapon, just like Danny Rand, the Iron Fist. And, you know, he's an Iron Fist character, but he's not just a hand-to-hand guy, you know, that uses his fists. He has some mystical abilities, and he has this green mist form that he can take. And in that form, I mean, he's just a green mist. He can't really be harmed, and he can kind of move about and fly around. He can teleport. His powers are mystical, but they're mystic. So it's not like he uses technology or he has some mutant ability. But he has he's been seen to teleport from China to America and then right back in the past and behind his opponents and around the battlefield. So he's got that ability. And when he's in his mist form, he can't really be harmed physically, but he can still strike with his kung fu attacks, which he has done in several instances. Pretty much, I think, every instance I've seen him in. And it's a weird thing. Some might say, yeah, but if he's a mist, how can he strike a physical blow? Then he could be struck. This is the comic book world, and this is a guy who can turn into a green mist. He's like an ancient guy, and he fights for one of the immortal cities, which one I don't really know. Anyway, so now Hercules, from what I understand, has lost all of his super godlike abilities, and he just has his hand-to-hand fighting abilities, which are pretty amazing. And I think he's got some weapons. I don't know if they're guns or like axes or swords, but someone had mentioned he's got an arsenal of weapons. Anyway, the fight would be pretty direct. You know, they would go at each other, and even in mist form, Hercules would be able to see the Prince of Orphans, but he wouldn't be able to strike him because he's just a mist, right? So the Prince of Orphans, he can start out just using some of those great kung fu moves on Hercules, and Hercules could swing back with whatever he wanted, and he wouldn't hit anything but air. And, you know, the Prince of Orphans would be in front of Hercules one moment and then teleport right behind him. And his signature move is called Jaw Snapper in Twilight, which is great, nice. These names. And so if his moves weren't enough to put Hercules down, which, you know, Hercules, he's not what he used to be. So I don't know about his durability. I don't know how much he can take. Another move that the Prince of Orphans can do is, in his mist form, he can enter his opponent's body and attack from within, and then just jump out. Just come back out as long as they teleport right back out. And so really, Hercules, he doesn't really have any avenue of attack here. As soon as the fight starts, the Prince of Orphans is going to go into his green mist form, and there's really nothing that Hercules can do to him. So I'll stop right there and have some back and forth with you, Ian.
No, I'm just kidding. I won't give you the back and forth. That wouldn't be fair. Well, the other thing why I wouldn't do the back and forth is I don't know anything about Hercules. Well, sorry, I know a lot about Hercules, but in terms of the Spider Island stuff, nothing. The only Spider Island book I bought, and was after everybody on here was talking about how good they were, was the is it New Avengers Spider Island one? It was like a one shot, and I couldn't believe how horrible it was. So I decided, you guys are just crazy, and you owe me $4.
You bought the wrong one. You should have bought the Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. You really did not like that one.
It was sold out. That one was sold out. I couldn't get it.
Right.
So I don't know anything about Spider Island or his powers or anything. So I'm gonna have to I'll go buy some issues and try and figure out what's going on and maybe buy some Herc stuff, see what's going on there. But in terms of the Prince of Orphans, you know, and I've said this to you, Eli, 1,000 times over, and the Deadly Weapons, man, that's my kind of comic book right in there. With those guys, you know what I mean? Like, just a fantastic ensemble of kung fu characters.
So
yeah, they really are.
So where is Herc right now? He's in Spider Island and he's got powers or no?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in New York, right?
Yeah, he's in the Spider Island. Someone during the draft, someone mentioned it, and of course we were all here. I can't remember who mentioned it, but that he had lost, and I think the Wikipedia page or the Marvel Wiki page mentions that he's lost his god powers.
Ooh.
So he's just like a regular guy, but he still has his fighting skills. You know, he's a great hand-to-hand fighter, and he's got some weapons, but I have no clue what the weapons are.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the promo pictures that I saw, and I don't know if it's for his new book or something for Spider Island, it showed him and he's got like, I don't know, he had four arms or something. You know what I mean? Like, so I think he's on that spider side of the powers thing right now. I think.
But see, in the main Spider Island book right now, none of the superheroes. Well, oh, you know, I take that back because Hawkeye has it in that book that you read.
Yeah.
But I thought I saw in the latest issue that superhuman people are immune to it. But I guess that's not actually not. Maybe I've misread that. Because that's not true because of Hawkeye. So maybe he has some spider powers. But still. Yeah.
Is Hawkeye superhuman?
Oh, that's true.
Is he meta? Because Shang-Chi has it too, but he's just a guy.
Ah, yeah. That's
a good point.
Yeah, that's a great point. So, yeah. Well, so, but if Herc doesn't have any powers right now, if he just is a good fighter, then maybe he does have spider powers. So.
I wish. So you haven't seen that image that I'm talking about? It's a cover image.
Yeah, where he's crawling on the web. But yeah, but you know, other Spider Island promo things had like all the Avengers and Spider-Man costumes.
Yeah.
So I don't just, you know, you can't really touch the, you can't really trust the cover. But well, interesting. Well, yeah. Well, if, you know, I mean, regardless if he's, I mean, to me the big question is going to be if no matter what abilities he has, how is he going to touch this guy if he can turn into a mist? So that will be something to really explore. So, interesting. Well, Eli, you got any other words of wisdom or about Prince of Orphans or?
Sure. I know he's not your favorite immortal weapon, Ian, but he is pretty much. The last tournament they had, the most recent tournament between all the immortal weapons, was interrupted by just a bunch of stuff, so they never got to finish. But the Prince of Orphans, he did face one of the other immortal weapons, and he just completely owned him. He told him he was going to own him. He called him a child, and then he just ripped him apart. It was Steel Phoenix he beat down. And in my opinion, I mean, it hasn't been drawn, but in my opinion, he would be able to win a tournament between all the other immortal weapons. And so the physical attacks wouldn't work. And even this, when he fought this other immortal weapon, you know, their attacks are it's a lot of involved with their chi and channeling their chi. That's how Iron Fist does it, and that's what the Steel Serpent was doing. But that still couldn't touch the Prince of Orphans when he was in his mist form. So physical attacks and even, you know, that kind of mystical chi-based immortal weapon attack, it didn't really do anything to hurt him. So he's a pretty bad guy. Yeah, and that's going to be the thing for Hercules, is how is he going to hurt him? And he won't be able to strike him when he's in his mist form. And, you know, Hercules is stuck on the ground. And, I mean, if we're starting, I know the sand dunes only make up 1% of Death Valley. But if that's where we're starting, you know, he's not going to have the best mobility in that sand. Whereas the Prince of Orphans, he's a green mist. He can kind of fly around and teleport. He's got the advantage in mobility, and he's got the advantage in, you know, basically being intangible. And Herc won't be able to strike him.
I'm looking over Herc's abilities, and one of the things that it says is he's a professional womanizer.
Isn't that great?
Hercules is well known for his womanizing skills that are so efficient they are considered legendary. In fact, even some men have fallen victim to his charms.
That's awesome.
So maybe he could seduce Prince of Orphans with his womanizing ability.
Oh, boy. I doubt that.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Eli, when you said that that you think Prince of Orphans would win that that mystical tournament. I agree 100%. I think he would have owned all those guys. I think it's been so long now since I've read those books, I'll have to go back and reread them. But I think Danny with Iron Fist even came across as a little afraid of Prince of Orphans, if I remember right. He didn't want to face him.
Oh yeah, and then what happened was the Steel Serpent that he beat. When they have this tournament, it's not a fight to the death, and you know they have rules and honor and all that. But the Steel Serpent, in one of his previous matches, he tried to kill Tiger's beautiful daughter,
yeah,
because she cut off his hand, and so Fat Cobra was scheduled to fight Steel Serpent next. But the Prince of Orphans wanted to teach everyone a lesson about honor and how they should behave as immortal weapons. So he asked Fat Cobra if he could take his place against the Steel Serpent, and the fight lasted seconds. I mean, he owned him. And later on, they were all at this big banquet between, you know, during the tournament at the end of that day, and they all wanted to talk to the Prince of Orphans. And all the immortal weapons were sitting at one table, and the Prince of Orphans was over by himself. And Fat Cobra and Danny were talking about it, and Danny says, "Well, I'll just go invite him over. I'll just go ask him." And Dog Brother Number One, he says, "I'll go with you for backup." And they were scared to approach him. And Danny walks up and he says, "Mr. Prince of Orphans," and he's kind of mumbling, and he asks him if he'll come over and regale them with stories of past tournaments. And Prince of Orphans kind of looks up a bit, and they get scared. And Dog Brother Number One, he even reaches for a sword, and Danny stops him. The Prince of Orphans says one word. He says, "Away." And they walk away.
Yeah.
And that you can see they're a little relieved that's all he did to them, was tell them basically, "Go away and leave me alone."
Yeah. Yeah, great and characters.
When he, when I mentioned that he teleported to America, the Prince of Orphans in the Immortal Weapons series number 5, he was he came across this village where some people had been slaughtered, and there was some ancient evil anyway that he had to confront. But there was a dragon that he ran into, this like 200-foot-tall dragon, and he knew that it was a dragon that was tied in with the Immortal Iron Fist's chi, where he gets his chi from. So he immediately teleports to a subway in New York City where Iron Fist and Luke Cage are fighting, and he tells Danny, "Hey, come on, come over to China right now. I need you. You have to come over there and defend your honor." And then he vanishes back to China, and Danny is like, "All right, Luke, I'm sorry, but I gotta go right now." And he's there like 23 hours later. At 23 hours and 58 minutes later, he makes it to the spot to meet Prince of Orphans, and the Prince of Orphans had given him 24 hours to show up or else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there's some fear, and there's some reverential, some real respect there for how bad he is.
And it's all pretend written by Matt Fraction and really written by Brubaker.
Nice. Nice. Well, Eli, do you have anything else to add?
I think that's it. I think I'll leave anything else for the comment section on the post. But I mean that's a good picture of who the Prince of Orphans is. And really, I mean, the question is, what is Hercules going to do to him, especially now in his weakened state? But even if he had all his physical strength wouldn't do anything.
It's a good point. Well, what do you all think? Go to comicattack.net to the post on this episode and vote. Email us at jeff@comicattack.net or leave us a voicemail at 706-761-0115 with your questions, comments. Maybe you have a rationale for Hercules, since Andy is missing in action. I really thought he was going to show up during the show, at least. But let us know what you think about Hercules versus Prince of Orphans.
Great. Next week should be interesting. We're going to be joined by Dan Brienne, who has two fighters left that he can submit before he can go back and start resubmitting again. And those fighters are Scar and Annihilus. Interesting fighters. And Eli is going to be back again, who has Beta Ray Bill, who Jeff and I were just talking about before the show started, and the Invisible Woman. Not too many females in this tournament, so it'll be interesting to see her up and fighting soon.
Awesome. Yeah, that's going to be great. Leave us an iTunes review. Spread the word about this show. And you can follow us on Twitter at COC Comic Attack. And you can find us on Facebook. There is a Facebook page for us at COC Podcast. And you can feel free to comment there and get in touch with us and you know, talk to us about this fight or other fights or anything.
Good. And don't forget to check out all the plethora of articles, the reviews, the other podcasts, Tales from the Water Cooler, the Comics Dispatch, and Discussions with Decapitated Dan.
Yeah, fantastic. So well, we're sorry that Andy couldn't make it. I hope that he's okay and that he didn't die in a horrible car accident or something. I hope this doesn't bode ill for him in the fight, because he didn't get a chance to give his rationale.
Well, and go to comicattack.net. I'm sure that Andy will fill the posts, will fill that thread with his rationale and all the ways that Hercules can beat the Prince of Orphans.
Yeah, excellent. Well, any other things you guys want to say? This is a little bit of a shorter show because Andy wasn't here. But anything else?
There's one matchup with Dan that I am hoping I can get.
Yeah, which is what?
Well, I'm not going to share it.
There are a couple things between the two of y'all that I would like to see go down. So yeah.
Actually, yeah, there are. But one in the immediate future, I'm hoping I can make happen.
Ooh. All right. Well, very good. Well, we'll see you all next week then.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks for listening.
Take care. Take care, Eli.
See you. Just go ahead now.
All right, go ahead.
Welcome.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Welcome to the COC Podcast, where we put the attack in comic attack.